Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, as we turn into the book of Revelation, chapter 19, it's getting gloriously dark out there. It's getting gloriously dark out there. Folks, the king is coming. I don't know if you're ready or not, and I hope and pray you are, but we're going to all stand before God one day, either saved or lost. And there is no middle ground. There is no fence to ride. Some preachers would say you can't ride the fence, and rightly so, because there isn't any fence to ride. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. But glory be to God, you can nail that down today and be saved by the grace of God and be ready for the return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just looked over here at Miss Colleen, and boy, almost got myself in trouble by not announcing that it's her birthday today, and she made 88 years old. Yeah. Still going strong for Jesus, Brother Houghton. She's saved. She's saved. She's saved. Well, we have something to look forward to, folks, as the body of Christ. The king's coming, and if you're ready, then you ought to be the most excited and joyful person on the face of this earth, regardless of what's going on in this world. I tell you what, everybody getting excited all over the world. They shot that Chinese balloon down, but one day, folks, we're not going to be coming down. We're going to be going up, amen. And we're just not going to be floating around, people wondering what we are and where we went and who we are. The Church of the Living God's going straight up to glory. Revelation chapter 19, let's read a few verses together. Start in verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservant on her." And a second time they said, "Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped the God who sits on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And a voice came from the throne saying, "Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great." Then I heard something like a voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of many peals of thunder, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And he said to me, "These are true words of God." Then I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Brother Dennis, would you lead us in prayer? It's abundantly clear last week we covered the Bema Seat, where we stand before God as Christians and give an account, not for our sins. We shared in the Word of God, those were all taken care of at the cross of Calvary. We're not going to come into condemnation. We're going to have a judgment before God, and God's going to cleanse us and get us prepared to enter into this marriage supper of the Lamb. But first, we got to give an account for the deeds done in our body. whether good or bad, those things that were done with a wrong motive or an ill will or with malice in our hearts, we're going to stand and give an account, but yet we're going to be rewarded for the righteous acts that we have committed before God on this earth as we serve Jesus faithfully. But then we get to this issue of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and folks, this is exciting stuff. I tell you what, I was one of the most excited guys on Bayou Lafourche when I was engaged to my wife waiting to get married. I mean, I done calmed down. God was beginning to work in my heart. I wasn't truly saved yet, but it was an exciting thing to be engaged. I mean, to save up some money and go get a ring and, man, start preparing for that marriage and that ceremony. It was just an exciting time. Can I get a witness here this morning? You better say yes if you're the man and you're married and your wife's sitting on side of you. Those are exciting times, boy. That's the highlight of part of your life on earth when you get married, amen? And then we see this issue of the marriage supper of the Lamb and the Word of God. The first thing we see is the marriage couple. The Bible says in verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. We see two people right here. Number one, we see the bridegroom, which is abundantly clear according to the Word of God, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. The Bible speaks of this in the parable of the king's sons. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 11 says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. The 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 makes it clear that Jesus is the bridegroom. Kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready and went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Folks, you see, the bridegroom is coming for his bride, and the Bible makes it abundantly clear right here in verse 7, his bride has made herself ready. There's two people involved, the bridegroom and the bride. We as the church are the bride of Christ. Jesus is the bridegroom. Now, folks, you need to understand this. The Bible says in Matthew 25, 1 about the 10 virgins, that Jesus came back. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And so I want you to understand, if you're here this morning, that Jesus as the bridegroom is coming back for us. We are the bride of Christ. And the Bible makes it clear that you're either going to be ready or you're not going to be ready, according to the Word of God. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that if you're ready, you're going to go in and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the door is going to be shut. I want you to understand this very clearly. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you better get in on the marriage supper of the Lamb. You better get in now. Jesus was saying Jeff. You was about the closest to Jesus I ever met, though, brother. Jeff was saying just a while ago about, hey, we need to be worshiping him now. Not just wait until we get to heaven. Well, guess what? As the bride of Christ, we're not getting married to him later. We're married to him right now, amen. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. We belong to him right now. The ceremony's already begun, but it's going to be consummated one day. I mean, the fulfillment of Jesus' words are going to happen right before our very eyes. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Folks, it's coming. Whether you're ready or not, whether you believe it or not, this marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. Jesus, according to the Word of God, is the bridegroom. Then we have the bride. No wonder Jesus said, Paul said, I'm stuck on Jesus, can't you tell this morning? That's a good place to be stuck, amen. Thank you, Brother Alton. No wonder Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betroth you to one husband, so that to Jesus, listen to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, 2, I might present you as a pure virgin. That I might present you as a pure virgin before the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see after a while that presentation and that introduction of the bride of Christ that Jesus gives before his Father. Folks, I want to tell you something. I remember when I got engaged and we planned the wedding barn. We just was getting everything in order and getting the wedding party in order and getting the guests and the invitations out. Man, it was an exciting time to plan a wedding. And I remember I got up front, that long, long aisle, man, down there at the front of that church, and they got to playing this certain song that right there for the bride to come through the back door. And then, and the priest at that time, I got married in a Catholic church at that time, and then the priest said, "All rise." And guess what everybody did? They all arose, and what did they do? They all turned and they looked to those two back doors. Why? Because the bride was fixing to enter. Then they had some servants back there and they flung them doors open. And then the bride, my precious brown-eyed Cajun queen, she just walked to the side with that long flowing dress, with them curls and that little headband she had on, with them big brown eyes. And I, being the macho man I was, stood up there and looked the back and started to cry like a baby. And I looked around to see who was staring at her too hard. I said, "Y'all better watch it. That one there belonged to me." But all eyes, when they say everyone stand and the music strikes up, is on the bride. No offense to the bridegroom, but that day all eyes are mostly on the bride. That's just the way weddings go. But folks, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in all of his glory, every eye that's going to see him is going to be on the bridegroom, not the bride. It's going to be on the one who shed his blood and died on the old rugged cross and rose from the dead and is coming back in all of his glory for his bride as the bridegroom. Every eye that looks upon him is going to look upon the master and give him the honor and the glory and the praise that is due to him and him alone as the Son of the living God. All eyes are going to be on the bridegroom. And then we see the marriage company. Verse 9 says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." First of all, we have the wedding party. The wedding party, the bride is the church, the bridegroom is Jesus, but the Father's going to be there, and the Holy Spirit of God's going to be there directing the marriage ceremony. This marriage supper of the Lamb, you think about it. I don't know if many people do it no more these days, but the man would always go to the father, ask for permission to have the bride's hand in holy matrimony. In a Jewish wedding, they would have two parts to that ceremonial phrase. First, the bridegroom would go to the bride's house. They would begin the ceremonies and the festivities to start all of this consummation of the ceremony coming up. And they would begin to have these festivities. And then after a time of festivities at the bride's house, the bridegroom would take the bride, and then he would take her to his father's house. And they would continue these festivities until they would consummate that wedding. Now, folks, some theologians believe that it's going to be consummated at the millennium on earth, and others believe at the rapture, which I believe. But nonetheless, the ceremonies have begun when we got saved and washed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and are ultimately one day are going to be consummated before the Father which is in heaven as Jesus presents his bride to his heavenly Father. It's going to be a glorious day, folks. I just hope and pray you are part of the ceremony, don't you? And there's only one day. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, folks. If you know Christ, you've got something not to be ashamed of. You've got something glorious to look forward to. Jesus is going to take these ceremonies and these festivities and present it before his Father, which is in heaven. You think about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them with the Lord in the air forever and ever and ever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, we've got something to look forward to. We've got something to be excited about. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place in heaven before the Father when Jesus presents us before his Father as a bride, spotless and without wrinkle as the church of the living God. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. See, when I was down on the bayou, they'd have weddings going on, and they had, anybody ever heard of wedding crashes? I used to be one of those, God forgive me. I mean, you just went if you knew somebody you graduated. Oh, yeah, I graduated with them. I'm invited. Oh, yeah, I know his great uncle. I know his paran is Nana. I'm invited. And we'd get all dressed up, and we'd walk in. We'd crash the wedding like we was invited. We wasn't even invited. That's a shame. I'm embarrassed to say that. But, folks, guess what? When the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, this is my invitation only. These are the redeemed of the Lord. These are the blood-washed saints of the living God. These are those who have been born again, who have been saved, who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. This is my invitation alone. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. This is my invitation alone. You better be covered by the blood of the Lamb and saved by the grace of God, by faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, and in Christ alone if you're going to experience the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's not going to be no wedding crashes when it comes to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is my biblical invitation alone. I want to stop right there and ask you, are you invited? Are you saved? Are you born again? Have you been washed by the precious blood of the Lamb? Have you repented of your sins and turned from your ungodly lifestyle, laid your life down for the glory of God, and been saved by Jesus alone? Have you been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? That's the only invitation you're going to get. It's the only one you'll ever hear. The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man died and found himself in torment. Yet Lazarus died and felt himself in Abraham's bosom, found himself in Abraham's bosom being comforted. And yet, the rich man says, if you'll send someone from the dead to go and tell my father and my brothers about this place of torment, and perhaps they could escape this torment, they could escape this wrath. Yet Abraham tells the rich man if he don't believe Moses, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't even believe if I've sent someone from the dead. Folks, I want to tell you what that means. It means if they don't respond to the preached, written word of God, the invitation that God has given according to his word, the invitation that God has given according to the cross of Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. Folks, we don't need miracles to point people towards Jesus. The greatest miracle of all was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, died on an old rugged cross for sinners like you and I, and in spite of our ungodliness and our wickedness, he took on the form of flesh and lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's your proof right there. Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead, and whosoever calls on the name of Jesus will be saved by the grace of God. Then there's the wedding guests. Folks, a bride's never a guest at a wedding, don't you know that? It's just understood that she's there. She's one of the centers of attention. She don't get invited. She's one of the main attractions, the bride. You don't invite a bride to a wedding. How foolish it would be to send a bride an invitation to her own wedding. And so we look at this in verse 9. Blessed are those in verse 9 who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Folks, there's going to be some other people there besides the bride of Christ. Daniel makes it abundantly clear that the Old Testament saints are going to be there. Daniel says in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, there will be a time of distress like never before since there was a nation. Everyone who is found written in the book will be rescued. Listen to this. Those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake to eternal life. And I believe personally, according to the word of God, there's going to be some other guests appear at this wedding party. Not only the bride of Christ, but all of the Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected from the dead at the end of that seven-year tribulation to join the marriage supper of the Lamb and all of the festivities. Abel's going to join us. Seth's going to join us. Enoch's going to join us. Noah's going to join us. Abraham, Jacob, and Moses, and David, and all the prophets, and Deborah, and Hannah, and Rahab the harlot. All the Old Testament saints of God are going to join us around the throne of God. There's going to be some other guests, but they're not crashing it. They've been invited, don't you see? You've got the Old Testament saints, and then you have the tribulation martyrs. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17 says, and verse 9, a great multitude, which no one could count before the throne and the Lamb, clothed in white robes. One of the elders said, listen to this, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. All of the Old Testament saints of God, redeemed by faith in God alone, that trusted God as their only hope of salvation, are going to join us. And all of those tribulation martyrs are going to join us around the throne of God. These are the ones that come out of the great tribulation. I want you to think about this. Brother Alton, when I get to thinking about these are the ones that came out of the great tribulation, you know what comes to my mind, Brother Alton? Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Give God the glory that you saved by the grace of God. Give God the glory that you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all going to be finalized one day, folks, but give God the glory you're married to him right now. You've been saved by the grace of God, and you have got this marriage supper of the Lamb to be looking forward to. And in all of God's glory, we're going to stand with the Old Testament saints, the tribulation martyrs, around the throne of God, worshiping God. And then we see the wedding servants. I want you to think about this. While the marriage supper of the Lamb's taking place, they got a lot of servants going around tending to the wedding festivities. Some are good or some are bad, but folks, Jesus got angels all around them that is beckoning call. And while the marriage supper of the Lamb is taking place, they've got angels waiting on Jesus hand and foot. They are the servants of God ministering to all the commandments of God as all of these things are going on. We see some of this in Revelation chapter 19, verse 17. John gets a glimpse of these things going on earth and in heaven. He says, I saw an angel standing in the sun, commanding the birds in mid-heaven to come and eat the flesh of kings, he says. Revelation 21, I saw an angel coming down from heaven with the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Angels are at Jesus' beckon and call as all of these festivities and all of this is going on. And folks, I want to tell you, everybody obeys what Jesus tells them to do. They will call the fowls of mid-heaven to come and eat the flesh of kings. You think about all these people arguing right now, fussing and fighting, jockeying for position, mocking God, supporting every ungodly, wicked thing that's going on this earth. And folks, let's just realize this. Most of the leaders in this world right now are anti-Christ, anti-gospel, full of hypocrisy, full of wickedness. They're on their way to hell if they don't get saved by the grace of God. And you want to know the truth of the matter? The angels are at God's beckoning call as all of these things are taking place at the rapture of the church and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God himself said one of them angels are going to command the birds of mid-heaven to come and eat the flesh of those ungodly, wicked kings that are slain in battle by the breath of God's power and wrath. Folks, don't you realize judgment's coming? Don't you realize that it's going to be too late for one day for all these ungodly kings, all of these ungodly, wicked nations that have spurned God and mocked God And the angels during all of this are going to be serving Jesus. They're going to be at his beckoning call. Everything he commands is going to take place. And then we see the ceremony, the bride's presentation. And I'm going to refer you to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, is going to be fulfilled. Not only right now, right here, this is fulfilled, but in the future it's going to be fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride's presentation is going to be fulfilled according to Ephesians 5, 27, that he might what? Present to himself the church in all of her glory with no spot or no wrinkle. We're going to see the presentation, the bride's presentation. Jesus is going to present us before his Father, which is in heaven, without spot and without wrinkle. This is why we covered last week, folks, the Bema seat. Without spot or without wrinkle. All those things that are done with an ill motive or an ungodly attitude that are going to burn up before the throne. And then Christ presents us before his Father without spot and without wrinkle before our Father, which is in heaven. That's us. We're the bride of Christ. Can I get an amen? Without spot and without wrinkle, standing before God the Father as the bride, as the bridegroom presents us before God the Father with no sin, standing in the righteousness of a holy God, standing in his righteousness alone and not our own because we don't have any to give to God, but Jesus presents us before his Father without spot and without wrinkle. I don't know about you, but I like that because we're full of spots and wrinkles down here, aren't we? We get spotted along the way. We get wrinkled. But we're going to see the bride's presentation, and then we're going to see the bride's introduction. Matthew 10:32 is going to be fulfilled. We quote this all the time, but do we really think about this being fulfilled in the future as Christ presents us before God the Father? And the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place, and all of these things and these festivities begin and are consummated by presenting us before God the Father. We see the introduction, the bride's introduction, Matthew 10:32 is going to be fulfilled. Everyone who confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. Folks, I tell you what, grace gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go by as a child of God. I don't think there's anyone alive, anyone in here this morning, this service would say, man, that we don't mess up daily. We can make a mess of things. We get lackadaisical. We get indifferent at times. We get depressed. We get discouraged. We get in valleys. Folks, I want to tell you, when Jesus presents us before his heavenly Father, it's going to be the bride of Christ, a church that's without spot and without wrinkle. Here's my bride, Father. Here she is. Those that have called upon my name, those that have been washed by my precious blood, have been through the Bema seat, and now I confess them before you because they have confessed me and were not ashamed of me, repented of their sins, and turned to me. Here's my bride. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious, glorious day that's going to be. I can't help myself. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, a glorious day that will be. Folks, the songs are going to become a reality. The truth of the Word of God is all going to be a physical, tangible, sightseeing reality for the children of the living God, because we are the bride of Christ. The bridegroom's coming, folks. He's coming. Are you ready? The bride's introduction, and then we see the celebration. There's going to be a reunion of pleasure. Well, what a day of pleasure that's going to be when all the saints of God are reunited in the presence of God the Father, and Jesus presents his bride before his Father. How many of you have loved ones that have passed, that were saved, that were born again, loved the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it was mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a nephew, a niece, a neighbor, a co-worker? It's going to be a day of pleasure, folks. The greatest family reunion that ever took place is going to take place when Jesus presents the bride as the bridegroom before the Father. I don't know about you. I even look forward to seeing those that I've witnessed to along the way that got saved, and I didn't even know nothing about it. Saved by the grace of God, all standing before the throne, washed by the precious blood of Jesus. It's going to be a day of pleasure. It's not only going to be a day of pleasure, it's going to be a revelation of power. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 and 14 says, His eyes are a flame of fire. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, were following him on white horses. Folks, I want to tell you, the commander-in-chief is coming back one day at the end of that great tribulation, and there's going to be a battle of Armageddon, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords riding a white stallion, and the cavalry boys are flanked by his side, coming back in all of his glory to set the record straight to the whole entire universe. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every knee's going to bow, and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And all God's children said, hallelujah, amen, praise God. Thank you, sweet Jesus, if you could catch all of it. The celebration, a revelation of power. And then, folks, this is also glorious. A reign of peace. A reign of peace. As I was looking over the scriptures and preparing for this sermon, I read something that caught my attention. It said, as far as man can remember, since peace treaties began being made, that there's been over 8,000 peace treaties that have been signed. That's just that they can recall. That's not all the ones that we can't recall, we don't know about. And you know what's an interesting figure, or statistic, should I say, on those 8,000 peace treaties? Take a guess, Jeff. Every one of them was broke. They never last. Jesus said in John 16, 33, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Folks, what I'm trying to tell you about this marriage supper of the Lamb, this earth is finally, after the battle of Armageddon and the great tribulation, when Jesus comes and sets down the Prince of Peace on the throne of David, then we'll have peace with no more war, no more rumors of war. I'm telling you, it's all going to end up with the Prince of Peace ruling and reigning, and finally we're going to have a peace treaty that will never, ever be broken again. Finally, peace in the presence of the Prince of Peace. And we can have that peace right now, can't we? Even in the midst of darkness and ungodliness and wickedness and uncertainties, everybody's worried about World War III. They done shot the balloon out of the air. President Xi's birthday balloon came over here, and they rained on his birthday parade and shot his balloon out of there. Look out, they're fixing to retaliate. Man, I tell you what, I don't know about all that balloon stuff. They didn't know, some of them say it was a meteorologist balloon got blown off course and floating around staring at our missile silos and army base. Well, hallelujah, they can identify that. They can say it came from China and say what it was and where it's drifting and where it's going. I want to tell you, to a lost and dying world, folks, people ain't going to recognize Jesus when he comes back because they're not saved by the grace of God. And I know he's coming back. This ain't no balloon full of hot air, folks. This is the gospel truth. Jesus is coming back. And the only ones that's going to identify him, folks, is going to be those who are washed by the precious blood of the Lamb, saved by the grace of God. That's the only ones who are going to recognize him. We know where he's at. We know where he's coming from, and we know where he's fixing to take us home. Aren't you glad? We read the book, and we know what it's all going to take place. How soon it'll be, I don't know. It might be today. It might be before I utter the next word out of my mouth, but I do know this. The only ones going home for the marriage supper of the Lamb, those that's been invited. And you have an invitation in the Word of God. It's right there in the written Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. There's your invitation. Whosoever calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. There's your invitation. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. There's your invitation as a child of God to stay clean and be ready as the bride. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. There's your invitation. You've got your invitation today. Are you going to take it? Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. There's your invitation. Or you can just live in this wicked world with no peace, no comfort, no joy. Nothing to look forward to except eternal damnation in a place called hell because you have rejected the invitation. If any will come after me and deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me daily. There's your invitation. Would you accept it today? Or are you just going to wait till Jesus comes back and moves the bride out of the way and go through that great tribulation and stand before God and hear these words, depart from me, I never knew you. If you're here today and you've never repented of your sins, you've never laid your life down for Christ and followed him, would you take a public stand today? Unashamedly? Take a public stand for the Lord Jesus. I mean, come down here in front of the whole world and God himself and say, man, you know what? I believe I'm lost and on my way to hell, but I believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for my sins to give me eternal life. And he loves me so much that if I will come to him and repent and turn from my sins and call upon his name, he'll save me by the grace of God. Would you come today? Would you come today and do that? Not for me, not for this church, not for anybody else. Would you do it for Christ? Look what he's done for you. He shed his blood and he suffered. And he died to save you by his grace. Would you come today?